This morning, we're going to be considering a question that is an important one, not just for us to consider as individuals, but also for us to consider as we are talking to people this year, to people that we have chosen to reach out to share the gospel message with, and hopefully have an impact upon their life so that they will want to come to the faith based on the knowledge and the study that we have with them. And this morning, we're going to think about this question of what is the Bible? This is an essential question for us, even as those who follow Christ, because we have to always be evaluating in our life, what role does the Bible play in my day-to-day living? And so when you ask people out in the world, the kinds of questions you might get and are along these lines. Number one, some people might say, well, the Bible is a human invention that cannot be trusted. It was made up by men over a period of time according to their wills, desires, beliefs, etc. And that's how a lot of people perhaps view the Bible today in this world. Maybe they see it as having some legitimate history, but they don't necessarily trust what is written in it. Some people would say that the Bible is a mixture of God's words and man's words. There's things in the Bible that may be true and may be from God, but it's hard to distinguish between those things that God has actually said and the things that man says God has said. Now, of course, the challenge for a person that makes this claim is how do you really sort out the difference between those two? What methodology are you going to use to discern between what you believe to be truly from God or not? And often how people end up doing this is they use contemporary and cultural concerns to make those decisions based on what fits with the culture. As somebody told me one time, the Bible has to adapt to the culture that we live in. Now, we may need to change the way we present the message, not the message itself, in order to suit the culture. But that doesn't mean that we remove the truth from the equation. That doesn't mean we change the truth of God's word in order to fit the world around us. Or do we believe that the Bible is completely and entirely the word of God, without error, accurately reporting the facts and events of the scriptures, the miracles, the statements of God, the actions of other people, all of these things happening as it really did, coming from God to us. I think something's dying over here. All right, there we go. Which mic am I on? This one? Okay. I cut out. All right, sorry about that. Today I want us to think deeply about the role that the Bible plays, both in our lives, but also think about how maybe we can apply some of these things in our work with other people. I want to preface this by saying this is not going to be an exhaustive apologetic study of how do we know the Bible is really from God. We really don't have time to cover all of that. But what I do want us to do is start by looking at what the Bible has to say about itself. Because if we're going to take the Bible seriously, we should take seriously the things that the Bible claims for itself, at least as a starting point for what Scripture actually is. So the first thing we're going to look at is what is the Bible? What does it have to say about itself? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verses 16 through 17, we learn that all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So there's several things to unpack here. But the first thing I want you to see is that, number one, the Bible comes from God. It is breathed by God. It was given by God. It is not some man-human fabrication, but it is given by the breath of the inspiration. It comes from God. And because of that, Scripture is beneficial and useful for our teaching, for our correction, for reproof, and for us becoming righteous according to the standard of God. And because of that, we will ultimately and hopefully become complete and equipped for every good work. So a question to consider here, if the Bible is indeed through teaching, useful for teaching, correction, and training. And because of that, it can lead us to becoming complete and equipped for every good work. Then the question we have is, do we really need anything else? Can we really become complete by any other way if it is the Bible that helps us to become complete and ready for every good work? Do we really need as much supplementary things as we might imagine? But the second question is this. If we say, well, only part of the Bible is valid, and we pick and choose things from Scripture that we like, that we agree with, that resonate with us, then are we really able to become the complete person that the Bible wants us to be in Christ? Well, no. Because we've chosen certain things, and when we choose things and exclude others, we can't be complete. We can't be the person that God wants us to be. The second thing is this, is that the Bible is God's written commands. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 37 through 38, Paul writes this to the Corinthians. He said, if anyone thinks that he is a prophet or spiritual, he should acknowledge the things that I am writing to you are a command of the Lord. If anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. You know, there's many people today that would argue that, well, maybe Paul didn't really mean the things that he wrote were from God. Maybe Paul added some things or made up some things, or Paul tweaked some things according to his preferences. But what does Paul say right here? Paul says that the things that he is writing are a command of the Lord. And if we fail to recognize that, we are not recognized. So Paul did not see his writings as an opinion piece. Paul saw what he was writing, and he knew that what he was writing was by the inspiration of God. He knew that what he was writing were the commands of God. He also wrote this to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. We also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So the right way for us to recognize the word of God is as, or the Bible or the scriptures or the writings that we see here is as coming from God, as being commanded by God, and not as the word of men, but as what it really is, God's holy written word. The third thing for us, and along these lines, the Bible and prophecy is not man's invention. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 through 20, or 20 through 21, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So what Peter's essentially saying is, these weren't made up prophecies. These things came from the Lord. And they came about by the influence of the Holy Spirit. You might say, well, wait, weren't there some prophets in Scripture that weren't telling the truth? You know, there was one that we talk about frequently, 1 Kings chapter 13, where there was an old prophet who deceived the man of God and told him he had had a word of the Lord, and he didn't, and he deceived him. But I think the key difference between what Peter is telling us here in 2 Peter is Peter's not saying the false prophets that are recorded in Scripture, those people spoke for God. I think we can pretty clearly discern from this context of Scripture, and even the Bible will say the prophet lied or the prophet spoke an untruth or what he said was not true. Peter is saying the legitimate prophets, the ones who spoke for God in actuality, those people were speaking for God. They were not speaking of their own imagined things, but they spoke as they were moved and carried along by the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah even warned people about this in Jeremiah 23 and verse 16. He told the people of Israel not to listen. God told Jeremiah to say that the people of Israel should know, don't listen to the prophets that just tell you what you want to hear. As it was common in those days, they would act as advisors to the kings, and they would say something that contradicted what Jeremiah said, and it was the thing that the kings wanted to hear. And God told them to watch out for those people because they speak lies. So the prophecies of Scripture and the men who really did, in fact, speak for God are not frauds that we occasionally encounter in the pages of Scripture. But the principle can extend not just to predictive prophecy. But I think there's a principle here that Scripture is not man's own invention. Scripture, men speaking or writing from God as they were carried about by the Holy Spirit. So the question we need to ask for ourselves, those are some basic facts about what the Bible has to say about its nature and its claims and so forth. What is the Bible? So I think we can summarize it like this, and this is an imperfect statement, and it could be expanded upon greatly. But the Bible is an inspired book that comes from God. It is an inspired book that contains the written communication between God and man. God's words to us throughout history. It includes narrative. It includes law, poetry, prophecy, wisdom, literature. It includes different formats in which God communicated through man for man as they were carried about by the Holy Spirit. And we do know, based on John chapter 20 and verses 30 through 31, that not everything Jesus did was ever written down. And I suspect we can say not everything God ever did has ever been written down. But the things that we do have written down have been written down so that we might believe and have eternal life. Does this mean we need to go looking for lost gospels or lost scriptures? No. Because what we have is sufficient for our salvation. So the thing I want you to consider personally today is how do you know, how do I know, how do we know if we really are committed to these values here? If we say, well, yes, I know the Bible is from God. I know it's God's written word for my life. I know it contains God's commands. I know that I need to not only agree with that, but do something about it. How do we know if we really agree and practice and believe these things? How do we know this is not just something we agree with in our head? Oh, yeah, the Bible's pretty good, and I think I should follow it. How do we know if that's really the case for us in our life? And really, it comes down to, is the word working in your life? Is the word present in your life? Is the word on your heart and on your mind? Does the word change you? Is it evident that you are a follower of Christ or just a casual observer? So let me offer a few final things for us to think about this morning as we look at the way that the word can work in our life. First thing is this, does the word dwell in you? In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, the Lord says, all these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. And there's throughout Scripture, you see conversations about the Word of God needing to be in our hearts and on our minds and a part of our being. And if you look at the way that the Scriptures talks about the word heart, what is the heart? You know, it's not our, you know, physical beating organ that supplies blood to the body. When the Scriptures talk about the heart, it's talking about the place where we make decisions, the place where our emotions are, the place where our mind is. It's kind of the seat, our inner being. And so the Scriptures need to be the place that occupy our inner self. The heart can be hardened against God. The heart can resist God and lead to obedience, as Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15 says. But the heart can also, as Romans chapter 10 verses 9 through 10 says, can believe and obey. So the heart is the place where all of our inner dialogue is, where our self and our being is. And the word needs to be in us, in our hearts, in that very place. David in Psalms 119 verse 11 talks about needing to store up the word in his heart. Jesus says that when the word is sown like a seed, it is sown into our heart, but that word can be snatched away by Satan. Colossians 3:16 through 17 says that the word can be in our heart through teaching, admonishing one another in wisdom, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And John teaches us that if the word remains in us, we will also remain in the Son and the Father, Jesus Christ, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 24. So the Bible is in us, but it can be resisted. The Bible can be in our heart, and it can be in our mind, and it can be in ourself, but we can push back against it. Knowing some things about the Bible is very different, though, from allowing the Word of God to dwell in you richly as a part of your everyday life. There's a difference between knowing factual things about the Bible and letting the Word of God consume your very being so that it is all you live and breathe and know. That it affects every decision in your life, every aspect of you, from work to school to play to your family to your thoughts and to even the fun that we have. A word that dwells within us will be a word that transforms us. It will not be a static word. It will not be a passive word. But when the Word of God is in our hearts as it should be, it's going to affect the outcome and the output and the fruit of our life. It'll come up in conversations at opportune times. It'll surface when you're talking to your friends, your neighbors. It'll come up in times of great need to rely upon for comfort and for support and strength. For the Word of God to dwell in us, we have to make room for it in our life. We have to be intentional about engaging with Scripture. We have to make sure it is part of a regular part of who we are as followers of Christ. Second thing I'd like for you to consider, and as we're considering, does the Bible really affect my life, is does it pierce you? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "The Word of God is living and powerful," or living and active, "sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God knows our hearts better than we do ourselves, but the Word of God helps reveal it to us. It gets down to the core of our being and addresses the source of where our evil intentions truly rely. And I think the thing that's so amazing about God's Word is its power and ability to get right at our very hearts, to get at the root of the problem, to change us, to prick us, to cause us to want to be someone different. It forces us to take a hard look at ourselves as we stand before the Creator. Encountering Scripture should change us. It should impact our hearts. It should cause us to want to be different. And if it's not, then maybe we have a heart problem. Maybe our heart has been hardened so that it's more difficult for the Word to get into us and to change who we are. Maybe we're afraid of what the Word might find. Maybe we're afraid of what's on the inside. We're afraid of that being broken open and revealed to ourselves or to others. But the Word of God is powerful. It can pierce us, it can change us, and it can cause us to be the people that we need to be unto salvation. The final thing is this: is the Word guiding your life? Psalms 119:105, "The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light and to my path." Recently, I was walking around in the dark at home, and, you know, as many of you know, this is probably not a good idea. But I was walking around, and I thought I was turning down a hallway in my house, and I ran into a wall. If I'd bothered to turn on a light, that probably would not have happened. Imagine running through the woods at night without a light. You're going to trip and fall on your face. It's dangerous. It's risky. You're probably not going to get where you want to go safely. As we journey through life, it is like walking around in the darkness. Without the light of the Word of God, we are going to stumble. We are going to run into walls. We are going to make mistakes because we cannot do it perfectly on our own. We need the light of God's Word to guide our footsteps in this life, so that we can step forward, not in fear, but in confidence. We're going to make decisions if the Word is truly guiding our life. The decisions that we will make in life will be based upon what pleases God and not what pleases ourselves. If the Bible is truly guiding us, we're not going to choose about what's best for me only,
We're going to choose what's best for me serving God. We're going to choose what's best for living a life in the world. And that might mean we have to make some hard decisions from time to time. What things in my life are interfering? What things in my life are preventing me from being with God? What things in my life are keeping me out of church? What influences in my life are causing me to drift, to think thoughts I shouldn't, to say things I shouldn't say? And if the Bible is truly guiding our life and not all these other things, we're going to have to make some decisions to purify ourselves of those things in our lives. And it should affect every aspect of who we are, from our home, our family, our finances, our work, our activities, our school. Everything in our life should be guided by the Word of God. Because otherwise, if it's not, it's guided by something else. Our own wants, our own desires, our own longing to please others, the pressures that other people place upon us. That's what's going to make decisions for us in our life, not the guiding of the Word of God. So what really is the Bible to you? Is it a nice book to read occasionally? Something to pick up and to get little tidbits of wisdom? Maybe it's something you come to hear at church. You know, you hear it every week and that's great, but it really doesn't change who you are. Or is it something more than that? Is it a life-changing, God-breathed word containing the commands of Christ and God for our life, telling us how we ought to live, not the opinions of man, but the teachings and doctrines of God? And if that is the case, there should be change in our life. There should be fruit that comes from that belief and commitment. It should affect every way that we live. May we be a people that don't harden our hearts against the Word, but allow it to pierce us, to guide us, and to change us. Make us complete as we strive to reach eternal life. This morning, I know that sometimes we harden our hearts against the Word of God. We don't always make time or room for it in our lives. We ignore it. We put it on a table. We put it on the shelf. It gets dusty. So a lot of us have replaced physical Bibles even with our phones, apps that are almost so convenient that we forget to use them. But the Bible sometimes doesn't occupy the place in our life that it should. And so when it doesn't, other influences are going to fill that hole. They're going to consume our life. And so we'll no longer become a people of the book, but a people of the world, becoming what the world wants us to be, what Satan longs for us to be, instead of what it is that God calls us to be. And if you've allowed that to happen, that's something that you can change today. I think we've all gone through this from time to time, but we can ask for forgiveness from God and allow that light to shine in our life once more. This morning, if you're not a Christian, please know that the Word of God tells us that forgiveness of sins can only be obtained by the blood of Christ. There's a lot of people out in this world offering different paths to salvation and enlightenment and to find eternity or to find meaning in this life. But the truth of the gospel and the truth of this world is that these things can only be found through Jesus Christ. And the Word teaches us that by repenting, confessing Christ, and being baptized, we can walk in newness of life, have our sins forgiven, and live eternally with Him. But without that, we're lost. We're wandering around in the darkness without a light to guide us, stumbling over things and never finding the way home. Follow the light of Christ, and He will lead you to eternal life. If you have any needs this morning, I ask you, please come forward as we stand and sing this song.